I'm Amanda, and this is Not Your Granny's Quilt Show. Howdy, howdy. Welcome to today's episode. Today, I have Emily from M and Bear. If you don't know her from her TikToks or her Instagram, then go find her immediately. She became like the quintessential quilter's quilt gal to follow and watch through COVID, and she got a lot of us sewists and quilters through the pandemic with her content. And quite frankly, she's like one of the ones saving quilting. No, I'm just kidding. I'm being dramatic. But honestly, her content is great. She's got a teaching background. She's a pre-K teacher. So her tutorials are very well thought out and aim to teach you how to use your tools and make beautiful quilts with a lot less stress and focusing on the process instead of just the end product, which I love. My little educator heart is so happy. Beyond that, she just makes beautiful stuff and shares it with everyone so that we can all find joy in quilting and be happy when we look at quilts. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. And that if you don't know Emily already, that you're out there looking for her content and following her on her TikTok or on her Instagram. And in the meantime, let's check it out. My friends, I hope you know by now that I am taking Carly Porter's graffiti quilting class this fall. It's her 10-year anniversary, so I'm very excited to be a part of this. Not only has she added almost 200 pages to her previous book, but the welcome box and the kit that you receive when you join the class is going to be chock full of amazing gifts from sponsors and affiliates. I'm one of them. So if you are joining the class, you're going to get a Not Your Granny's Quilt Show sticker in your bundle. I just can't even tell you how excited I am to take this class with Carly. Not only is Carly an amazing human, she is really good at what she does. She stands behind her product and her class 100%. And she's there for you. You get lifetime access to the videos and to the class content so that if you ever need a refresher, you can just head back to your group in Facebook and check it out. Yes, you do need to have a Facebook account to join the live classes, but when you sign up for the class and get the book, you have essentially your textbook right in front of you. So if you're interested in learning all about it, head to carlyporter.com, go to her education tab and click on the graffiti quilting class. When you sign up, this is your last chance in March. When you sign up in March, you get the early bird pricing. And when you use code NYGQS25 at checkout, you'll receive an extra $25 off of your class fee. So head to www.carlyporter.com. And when you sign up for the class, use code NYGQS25 at checkout. And let's get graffiti quilting. And now on to the episode. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been excited for this one.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yay.
My first podcast. So,
yeah. Well, I'm so honored to be your first stop. This is so cool. I'm excited. Fun. Well, I mean, most people, if they know you, probably know you from your TikToks, but...
Yes. You know what's interesting, though? Like, I have a big following on TikTok, but a lot of my Instagram followers are, like, exclusive from that. So, like, The two don't really meet. So, whenever I post about TikTok, people always are like, what? And had no idea that I was on TikTok, which is crazy, but yeah.
That's fun. Kind of get to merge the two worlds in a way sometimes.
Yeah, and it's fun because it means that when I post, like, the same kind of stuff on both platforms, it has a different... It gets different, like... perception, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Different engagement stuff. Yeah. That's so crazy. Well, I mean, for those of us listeners who don't know you or are just new to you, like let's go back. Like how did you even get into sewing and quilting in the first place? And where did it enter your life?
So when I was in like the third grade, I think everyone who's a quilter has always been really crafty. It's one of those, like, it's like there were gateway crafts that got you into quilting.
Yeah.
I was in like third grade. I really wanted to sew, you know, those, like you get a piece of big fleece and you put two together and then you cut it and tie it in knots. Yeah. I, for some reason, as a third grader, was convinced that you needed to sew a stitch around the edge of those. So I was making those and insisted that my mom get me a sewing machine so I could sew a stitch around them. So I did that for like 2 years. I made all these blankets for my family, and then I put away my sewing machine and never thought about it again. So I had sewn like maybe some straight lines through some fleece that didn't matter. And then in 2020 with the pandemic, I was doing a bunch of random pandemic crafts, and I was posting tutorials. Like, I would make pom-poms out of yarn, and I would post tutorials to my regular Instagram page. Mm-hmm. And people were like, you're so good at this, you should like post more stuff. And so I kept posting all these tutorials, and I was like, it feels a little bit weird to be posting like influencer-y tutorial content to my regular Instagram. But then I was kind of leveling up through the different crafts I wanted to do through quarantine and like trying to figure out something to do. And I remembered that in third grade, my mom bought me a sewing machine, and it's been sitting in my garage since then. So I pulled it out and was kind of like bebopping around with it. And then I saw this woman, her name at the time was Maddie. Oh, I can't remember what her name. Her name now on TikTok is just Maddie. But she used the Lo and Behold Stitchery tutorial to make a puff quilt, and she posted about it. Oh. And I saw that and I was like, oh, I must make this.
Yeah.
And so I got my fabric out and I got my old machine out from third grade and I started sewing again, and I hadn't touched it since third grade and I was very bad at it. But I feel like the puff quilt, even though it's scary, it's very forgiving. So like, mm-hmm. I had a lot of practice making the puffs, and I filmed it, and I was going to post it to my Instagram story, but I was like, this is kind of weird because I filmed so much content. It's not really like, it doesn't make sense. And I'm not going to teach them how to do this because it's a big, you know, hard, my followers aren't, or my friends and family aren't making a puff quilt the way right. they would make a yarn pom-pom.
Yeah.
So I posted the video to TikTok and it went like totally viral, like 2 million views. Whoa. Like overnight. It was crazy. And all these people were asking me to teach them how to do it. And since the puff quilt, obviously Lo and Behold, like kind of made it a new thing again, but it's kind of like been in the universe forever. So it's a skill that I can teach because it's not necessarily someone's like pattern or intellectual property.
Right.
So I made some adjustments to the way that I wanted to do it. And then I filmed a whole tutorial series, and that also took off. And since then, it's like the rest is history. But
wow,
it was basically like I had a machine from third grade, I got into quarantine crafts, and then it leveled up. And then here we are.
That's so wild. And it's like, it's just like so bonkers to me what quarantine did to the quilting industry and like mm-hmm. just crafts in general, and it and social media too, because it was just like, that's how we had to engage with each other. And so right. people were literally looking for mental escape and like things to do because they were stuck at home all the time. And that's, so it's like, honestly,
it was perfect like, timing. It was the, it was like every, like they say, when you go viral, like something has to be like, every single thing has to be in a line and be perfect. And it was just like the stars aligned.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so you're online, you're known as M and Bear. So where did that name come from?
Yeah. So when I posted the TikTok, it was just my full name. And as it started to get traction, I was like, well, I don't necessarily want a million people knowing my last name and all this. And I was sitting there and my dog's name is Bear. I was sitting there on the couch and I was like, how can I combine these two names? And it just, my name's Emily and Bear. And so it just kind of came together and then it stuck.
Yeah. That's awesome. How fun. Well, it's
kind of funny though, because people always call me M, which is fine. It's a nickname, but like nobody knows my name is Emily until they've like gotten much deeper into the like content and maybe follow me on my stories or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Like, cause I'll like ask people to be on the podcast. I'm like, I don't even know this person's full name. Like
that's that problem all the time. Like if I'm talking on my stories about someone that I know or something, I mean, I know through social media, and I'll be like, their name is XYZ. And then I'm like, well, what's their actual name? I have no idea. I was talking to Kindred Quilt Co. And then I'm like trying to think like, oh, it's Christina or whoever it is, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like definitely doing the podcast is nice just because I can get this FaceTime, you know,
everybody now.
Yeah. Right. It's like pretty cool, but it's just funny how like we all have our kind of online personas, but like, yeah, unless you outright are like, my name is Amanda, like people aren't going to necessarily know your first name or but maybe even not even your last name forever and ever, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of nice though, because it's like, you are your persona when you're online. And so you get to be like who you want to be in the quilting world. And then you can kind of be yourself in the day to day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's like a lot of quilters and crafters were kind of introverted. And so that online space is where we pretend to be extroverts a lot of times. And so having the like separate personality is kind of nice too, to just be like, okay, I can just relax and be a goblin behind my sewing machine.
That's definitely true, but I am the most extroverted human ever, which is why I like we were talking about earlier with yapping. I'm always on my Instagram stories, like talking away about anything and everything because I like am so extroverted. So if I don't see people, it's crazy. But people always joke that I'm their token extrovert. So I'm really excited. Next year, I'm gonna go to QuiltCon, and
Yay.
my quilt bestie is Sam from Sam Rhymes with Ham. And I was like, I'll be your token extrovert. And she's like, no worries, I'm also an extrovert. So we'll be just yapping all over QuiltCon next year.
Yeah. I feel like everybody lets their extrovert out at QuiltCon. This was my first year going, so it was a lot. There ended up being like, I think they said like 14,000 people going, and it felt like it. I mean, you could tell it was definitely really full. I mean, I did record my like recap of it, and I had
I
some
know I was
opinions,
gonna
but
listen to that episode, but I was like, I should listen to some interviews before so I know what I'm
know what to
getting
expect.
into.
Yeah, it was really great. I overall like I really loved it, and I loved seeing everybody in person, because I do have I think I tend towards extroversion, but I definitely have an introverted side where
When those kind of things even make me the biggest extrovert, like, whoa, I need a break.
yeah. Right, because it's just a lot all at once. It's very visually stimulating. It's, mentally and emotionally stimulating. You're near other bodies for like all day, everywhere you go. It's like every booth is full. There's like multiple people standing in front of every single quilt. Even if you're like trying to take your time and spread out and walk through the quilt show, it's like there's just people everywhere.
Yeah, I
So.
can imagine. I go to the Sisters Outdoor Quilt Show every year, which is in
Oh.
Sisters, Oregon, and they hang quilts up over like the whole outside of the town. It's so
Yeah.
cool. And even that, which is open air and outside, and like if you needed to, you could run away. It still feels so overwhelming to have that many people like in
Yeah.
one space looking at quilts and stuff. So I can imagine that inside a building would be even crazier.
Yeah. But I feel like Raleigh, they handled it really well, like the town, nothing like restaurants and stuff, like they were, I only went to a couple near the convention, but they didn't feel like overcrowded or too busy or anything. It was like they just handled it pretty well from my perspective. I'm sure other people had different experiences, but anyway, so I'm excited to see what Phoenix holds, and
Yes, I'm excited that it's kind of on my side of the country, so I don't have to fly like a million miles to get there.
yeah, exactly. That was really hard because I'm in Idaho, so like
Oh, yeah.
it's a trek, but we also kind of made the best of it. My mom went with me, and
Oh, that's
because
fun.
yeah, we have a quilting business together, so like we went as Sweet Pea Design Company, but I of course was wearing all my
Nice to
like
have someone with you
podcast
though that you
swag.
can chat to and like have a person.
Yeah, but my little brother who I was telling you about, he lives out there in South Carolina, but just a
Oh, that's
few
nice.
hours away. Yeah, so we actually took a couple extra days and went and visited him and his wife, and so that was nice. And it was like, well, since we're out here, might as
Exactly.
well. So, but yeah, being on the west side is going to be a little bit easier, but still far. Like my friend Jen was like, "Oh, how far is it? 'Cause I want to go with you guys next year." And I'm like, "Well, Phoenix is still like a 14-hour drive." And she like Googled it. It's literally like 14 hours and 3 minutes. I was like, "I told you."
Had that internal clock, you know exactly how long it takes to get there.
I'm like, "I've never been there, but I for some reason I know how long it takes to get there." But anyway, well,
I
that'll be
think
fun.
we'll still have to fly from I'm in Portland, Oregon, so I'll still
Oh,
have to
okay.
fly down there, but
Yeah. It's so I think it's just funny because it's like, oh, we can just drive there, but it's like, no, it's everything is so spread out on this side of the country.
that's I so I've lived kind of all over. My dad was in the Marines, so we moved a bunch, and we used to like we lived in Quantico, Virginia, which you can drive to like four states in an hour from there. Like it's like all right there. And then like now I live in Oregon. And if you drive an hour, you're still nowhere near the border of Oregon.
No, exactly. I know it's wild. It's like, okay, well, in Boise, we're 45 minutes from the border of Oregon, but then it's like, yeah, anywhere else you want to go, you're hours away. So it's like, it's crazy. It's even like a 7-hour drive to Portland if you don't stop. Like,
No breaks.
yeah, you have to because you need gas. But yeah, it's just crazy how much closer everything is out there. And like, yeah, just thinking about the traveling here, it's like you can't just like, oh, I'm gonna go to South Carolina today. Like, and even when we were visiting with my brother, he drove us back into North Carolina so we could go visit Asheville. And I was like, we're just literally going to another state today to just visit. And then like in, yeah, last year we had gone to the Atlanta area, but to visit my husband's family. And where they are, they're only like an hour from where my brother lives in South That's Carolina. Crazy. It's like, what the hell?
What's going on over there? Why is everything so small?
Yeah. So anyway, enough with the geography, but.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it, but it's interesting. I didn't realize that QuiltCon kind of switches coasts every year. Mm-hmm. So it might be kind of like an every other year thing for me, just because getting all the way across town. I'm a pre-K teacher. And so it happens at the worst time of year for me, because it's like, we're in school and we just had winter break and spring break is around the corner. So it's like, you can't really take time off in the middle. So it has to be somewhere close where it's worth it to travel. But
yeah. Oh, those little babies. How fun.
I love them.
Yeah. I did third grade for a long time, for 8 years, and then I quit. So
third grade's fun. My mom is a teacher and she was a third grade teacher for a long time. And now she's she just works in a building, but
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it works in a building, I suppose. Everyone works in a building. She works as a literacy specialist, but that doesn't really matter to a quilt listener.
Right. I almost was a literacy specialist, so it matters to me.
Well, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah. I was almost a lot of things. No.
I used to be, actually, this is interesting. I used to work in advertising. So I got my bachelor's degree in advertising, and I worked in advertising as like, I produced creative campaigns for like really cool brands like Nike and like really cool stuff. And it just was soul crushing to me. Like I felt like I couldn't be creative in the way that I wanted to. And like, I don't like to be critiqued on my creativity. I like to like make what I want to make.
Yeah.
I have always loved working with kids, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to like follow my, like, I always had a plan to eventually go back to school and get my master's degree and be a teacher, but it kind of accelerated it. And so I quit advertising, but I think that's kind of what made it so I was able to make content that would go viral, is because I kind of had an idea of like, I was in advertising. I know how to sell myself. I know how to like do certain things the right way and like tick a certain box. And so whenever people ask me like, oh, how do you do it? How did you like, how do you make something go viral? I'm like, well, you can't make something consciously go viral, but there are choices you can make in your content that will make it more appealing. And those are the kind of things that I knew, which was kind of interesting when I was getting my start.
Yeah. I kind of talk about this a lot, but it just, you know, when you're getting your degree or you've got this certain career path in mind and you're like headed that direction, even when you change directions and feel like you're doing something completely different, it's like crazy how your previous learning or like your past life kind of creeps into your new and like how much it informs that.
Your job, like, I think a lot of us quilters, especially like on Instagram and stuff, that's our hobby. Like, it's not my job. It's just what I do for fun on the side. And I think a lot of people are like that, but it's so interesting to see how people's work will like be put into their quilts. And like, people are like, people who are like very analytical and mathematical and do things like that are very much like very precise quilts. I'm a happy-go-lucky little frilly pre-K teacher, so my quilts have mismatched points and whatever. And I'm just trying to teach you to like it. I'm not trying to teach you how to do it perfectly. And so it definitely like trickles into everything that you do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. And like, I worked at a local quilt shop for a little bit and I was teaching the long arming certification class. And that was just like, oh, right. I'm a teacher. I'm still teaching people, adults, how to quilt like long arm, but
all the like little back soft skills in your head make sense. Yeah. Like, and apply like
all my abilities to like read the room and like check for learning and like it's just different than a person who knows how to use the machines telling someone else how to use them. And then also, but then, you know, me come along and know like a lot of things about teaching people.
I was gonna say, I specifically, a lot of times I see people post tutorials and I'm like, you're not actually teaching someone how to do this. Mm-hmm. You think you are, you're showing a step, but somebody who doesn't know what they're doing doesn't know how to do that step. Like if you tell me make a flying geese and I've never done this before, I can't do that. And so that's one thing that I like try to keep, make sure it's like woven into all of my tutorials, because a lot of my content is teaching content. Mm-hmm. It's like, if somebody who's never touched a sewing machine or a rotary cutter before, what information are they going to need to hear from me in order to like know how to do this? Everything I do is meant to be beginner friendly. So, which kind of limits on what I can teach, but I do my best.
Sure. Yeah. But it's nice because I think so many people want to get into it. And if they find an approachable way to try something, then it's like they're probably more likely to stick with it than if the first thing they try is like a pattern written from a master quilter who isn't exactly. considering the beginner status. And like,
and I totally understand how that, where that comes from. Cause even now I'm like, I've already shown you in one of my videos 10 times how to do this skill, but I'm like trying to think to myself, like, okay, if this is the first thing someone discovered from me, how are they going to use this?
Yeah.
Teach themselves how to quilt. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah. That's so fun. And I love that, like, you can find that happy medium and marry your two worlds together to like make cool content, because it is fun and engaging, and it does bring about like the happiness that quilting brings and that making stuff brings. And it doesn't have to be perfect, and like, I'm not perfect by any means. And
absolutely,
if anybody tells you their quilts are perfect, they're lying to your face.
Right. That's actually one of my favorite things about the Sisters Outdoor Quilt Show, is it's not a judged quilt show. And I know there are rules. I'm sure there are rules. I never want to say like, oh, they'll accept your quilt no matter what. But as long as you are within the parameters of what the quilt needs to be, like it's got a front, a middle, and a back, it's bound, it's a certain size, they will accept it and hang it in their show. And I love that, because it's like, anyone can submit a quilt to this show, and you can walk around and you just see such a huge diversity in skill, and like quilts of all kinds and shapes, and like there's mistakes in them. My quilts always have a mistake. I hang at least two a year. They've always got some sort of mistake in them, but people are, you know, walking around and being like, wow, this is gorgeous regardless. And so I love that show. It's so fun.
I've never been, and we've always talked about going, because Sisters is like a 5-hour drive from here for us. So
you can come this year. I'm trying to get everyone to come.
When is it?
Early enough. It's the second Saturday in July every year.
Oh man, I'm going to be in Spain.
Oh, well, boo.
I know.
Well, next year, come. Mark your calendar. Second Saturday every year.
Okay. Second Saturday. I'm writing it down right now.
There you go. It's so fun. It's more like an exhibition than anything else, right? It's just showing. It's not, there's no bad vibes, just good vibes.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think a celebration of quilting is so fun. And I'm on the fence about judged things, because I think, anyway, I think there's
a place and time, and people like to be competitive, and that's great. That's just not my vibe when I'm making a quilt. Like I'm making it for fun. So I want it to be fun if I show it to people, not like stressful.
Yeah. Not like, oh, what's the judge going to say? And having been on like the backside and like seeing how at least like nationally certified judges work, who happen to work well together, whose personalities mesh, which I know I had like a Goldilocks experience for being in that position. Like I was a scribe for the judges for my local guild's quilt show that we do every year. And they were so incredibly conscious of like making sure that their feedback was constructive, and like they really considered so many aspects of the quilt and really tried to understand what the quilter was trying to communicate, because they can't read labels, they can't look at the information beyond what the quilt is called, and like the techniques that were used or what category it's in. But like, at least the ladies I worked with, I was like, okay, it's not so scary. They're literally looking for ways to help you become a better quilter, or like refine your skills if that's what you're looking for. And if you're not looking for that, then just hang it as an exhibit only. Like you don't have to get it judged, but I'm still like, also don't judge my quilt.
I won't be putting myself up for that, but I love that other people do.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, it's just funny how I love quilt shows, but I hate feeling like people are disappointed with the results of their quilt. But I'm like, this is just one environment. Like there's so many other places where maybe your quilt would have been first place or best in show, or maybe it wouldn't have ribboned at all, or maybe it wouldn't have even gotten accepted. It's very like subjective.
Art is so subjective that it's hard to say something is the best and something is the worst. If it's like to somebody else, it's completely opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. But the idea of just hanging it for like, so that you can just be like, look at this thing I made. Like,
that's what I love. That's such a fun show.
Yeah. Ooh, that's exciting. I definitely do want to make it, but yeah, my husband and I decided we're going to do El Camino de Santiago this year. So we're going to be walking across Spain all summer.
So cool. So fun.
Yeah. It's going to be something. That's for sure.
It's
going to be hot. I'm nervous. I'm only nervous just because like, It's just like a long time. It's like 40 days of walking or like 35 days or something like that. So we're gonna
are you bringing a quilt with you? Are you gonna have a quilt on your back?
I wish. I don't know. It might be too hot. Too hard to carry.
You should make a little one that can just kind of like be a little cape.
I literally was thinking like I should just make like a mini quilt that I can attach to the back of my pack that like goes with, because like, you know, if you're when you're one of the pilgrims, one of the peregrinos, they like give you the shell that's like a symbol of you doing the Camino. So I thought it'd be cute to have one that like is like the background of where my shell hangs.
That'd be perfect. There you go. Just like a little mug rug kind of size.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, I'll just pin it to the outside of my, I think I'm going to, just because I thought that would be so funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I have a quilt that I take to every national park, and it's totally a wacky, like, pink and bright and whatever quilt, but I take it to every national park I go to. So you got to have a quilt that you take to every spot on your Camino.
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah, I definitely am going to. And I was just, yeah, literally like, okay, what size do I make it? But yeah, mug rug size feels perfect. And then maybe, I don't know. I was also thinking of making like a mini, or making it like the Idaho Star block.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. We'll see. See what I come up with.
Call back to home.
Yeah, exactly. And your national park school is so fun. I love that you take it to all the national parks and like just get it everywhere.
It was so funny. I was in like such a rut of like, I had just finished posting my second like full quilt tutorial series. And I like posted those back to back. I was so like riding on a high of momentum, and I really burnt myself out on it. And I was like, I just want to make a quilt, like not to make any content, just to make myself a quilt that I will like for me. Like I had been making all these things for like other people's requests, and whether or not I was keeping the quilt, it doesn't really matter. It was more like, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
So I sat down and I like had found that Stay Gold by Melody Miller is like my favorite fabric collection of all time.
So good.
So good. And so I found the fabric that I had bought, and I was like, I'm not going to film it. I'm just going to make myself a quilt. And the second I started doing it, I was like, wait, I'm having fun. I want to film this and show people, but I wanted to. It wasn't because I had to.
Yeah.
I did end up filming the whole process of making it, of course, but I was having so much fun doing it. And then I realized like the next day we were leaving on our spring break trip, and I was like, oh, I'll just take this and take some quilts in the wild photos. And then it kind of snowballed from there. And I'm like, well, I've taken it to 4 national parks. Now I got to take it to everyone that I go to. And we go to so many because every spring break, we try to hit as many as we can. So this spring break, we're going to Utah. Mm. So we're going to do the big 5 in Utah and then the Grand Canyon. So that'll be cool.
Nice.
And then my husband works for the Federal Highways Administration, which does roads in national parks. So
He
does work travel a lot out to different national parks. So I go visit him there.
Wow.
So it's still so all cool. There. And now it's been to, I think, 7, and it's going to be, we're going to double that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Aren't there 63 national parks?
Yeah, it's going to take a while to get that quilt to every single one, but yeah. I'm doing my best.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've got quite the journey ahead of you, but with, you know, most states have multiple, so.
Yeah. It's funny. I haven't been to Crater Lake, even though it's literally right near me, of course, but you know, isn't that how it always goes? You're never a tourist in your own town, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny because like I've lived here pretty much my entire life, and so when people are like, oh, this thing in Boise, and I'm like, totally, as I'm like Googling it, because I'm like, what are you talking about?
I've heard of that and been there.
Like, it's great. I'm like, I don't, what is it? And like, but I think, yeah, it's like when you're just used to being in a place, you don't really think to like go explore it like a tourist. And
right. So
it's kind of funny, like I do think sometimes like I want to be a tourist in my own town and like go do stuff, but then I'm like, eh.
I was like, that's expensive, and I like just going to my local Target.
Yeah. I'm like, I can just like stay in my bed. That sounds great too. Like
stay in and sew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh man. So you have your national parks quilt. Like, do you have any other kind of fun recurring
tradition with?
Yeah, like
I haven't actually made myself very many quilts. I made a lot of quilts last year, but they were all gifts for people. I do have it's in my living room. I could go grab it, but my wedding guest book was a quilt. So I made a bunch of sawtooth star blocks, and then my guest signed the inner square, and then I put them all together, and then Sam from Sam Rhymes with Ham long-armed it with this beautiful long-arming. One second, I'll go grab it.
Yeah, I want to see it. Ooh, that's beautiful.
These were our wedding colors. They also turned out to be kind of Christmassy.
Yeah, but still. Oh, how Sam fun.
Like custom, I'm trying to see which one. Yeah, this is one. she like hand long armed that. And then she also did some machine with her pro stitcher. But yeah, it's so cool.
That's so cool. I love those colors. I did purple and green. So I'm like,
very close.
Yeah, that kind of opposites. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yes, it's a fun
what
one.
What a fun idea to do the sawtooth stars.
Yeah, I saw one of my friends, her name is Hey It's Grace on TikTok, and she did the same thing before me, and she was posting about it, and I was like, wow, that's brilliant, because you can quilt around the block, but you can leave the text nice and like unquilted.
Yeah. Well, that's so smart, because people just do squares, and then if
the
they
seam allowance.
Yeah.
That was my big thing, is I was like, people are going to draw or write in the seam allowance, and then I'll have to like cover it up if I just do a square. But if I pre-sew it and say sign inside the square, then I don't have to worry about it. It was brilliant.
Yeah, that's really smart. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of quilts to our quilting business, and it's been like, oh, everybody signed these squares and da 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 at the baby shower. Can you make this baby quilt? Well, it's like, we literally had to have, I mean, we didn't have to, but the lady opted to like have the people remake their squares, because they're like,
yeah,
like, we showed her, like, we drew a line, you know, with washable pen to show her where, and like, this is where what's going to get cut off. And it was like literally the person's name.
So, like, I think that you might want that information.
Yeah.
Find my favorite one is a little kid that was at our wedding. They traced his hand.
Oh,
there it is. Look at that one.
That's cute.
That's so precious.
Oh. I love that. That's such a fun idea. A fun
memory. So this one doesn't, I don't take it anywhere, but it sits on our couch. And so whenever friends or family come over, they get to be like, oh, there's where we signed it, which is sweet. Which
I like. It's like something like, you know, you get a guest book and you're like, what do I do with it now? Like, just keep this random fancy book around that you can't write and you can't use. But if you have a quilt, you're
gonna flip through it randomly.
Yeah. Like, oh, remember when this person whose signature I can't read came to our wedding? It's like, no, this at least gives you something to have and to hold.
Yeah. Something to keep us cozy.
Yeah. That's such a fun idea. And yeah, like you were saying, the seam allowance, like that is always what trips people up when they try to do the guest book quilt squares. And, you know, you end up losing someone's message or their name or, you know, something that they wanted to include for you. And it's like, yeah, unless you know what you're doing and mark, like, either draw the quarter inch seam allowance or half inch seam allowance around the edges of the square to say, don't go outside this line, you kind of just end up with a jumble. But that's such a fun idea.
Yeah. Things people don't think about before, and then it's, you find out later. But yeah, it worked out really well, and I love that. So I don't think I have any other quilts or things that I take with me, but that one national park quilt, it actually goes to every national park, but it also goes everywhere with me because I use a really lightweight batting. So I can make it like into a roll like this big. Yeah. So it can just fit right in my bag, and I use it as a pillow on a plane or as a blanket on a plane.
That's so smart.
I highly recommend you make yourself a travel quilt, because that thing goes everywhere with me.
Yeah, that's really smart. And I do, if we go on road trips, I take a quilt with me just because I want the comfort in the car, but also to have a quilt with me wherever we're staying. And
yeah,
it's so nice. Yeah, you think about having quilts in the car, but if they're too bulky or taking them on the plane, like I did, people are like taking quilts to QuiltCon. I'm like, how? Like, I
a Ziploc compression bag.
Right? Like, suck all the air out of it. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I would assume that the national parks quilt might, or your wedding quilt might be your favorite makes, but like, do you have,
I don't know. It's hard for this puff quilt that got me where I am not to be my favorite thing ever. And it's, now it's worn in enough where it's like super cozy and like squishy and stuff, which I love. So I think this is probably, will probably always be my favorite quilt. It also has so many mistakes in it. Like, this is one of my favorites. One thing I love to do is like, especially in my Instagram, is be like, here's all the mistakes I made in this quilt that I just finished that you probably think is perfect after you watch me cut 20 seconds of the 15 hours of making this quilt.
Right.
And so this is one of my favorite mistakes. This is before I knew what a mitered corner was. There's a big hole like between the two pieces of corner and the quilt top, like poking right through. But I never want to fix it because I think it's like hilarious. Like, of course I made this mistake. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to make it look like a perfect corner. And instead, the quilt top pokes right through there.
That's so funny. But
yeah, I love this quilt. So it has lots of mistakes in it, but they make it so perfect.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's just a testament to your journey too. I think like all of my first quilts, you know, there's something wrong with at least one aspect of them all. And, but I would never change it for the world, because it's like, no, that just shows you how far I've come like
yeah,
the fact that I can make these big intricate patterns, like, and make these heirloom quilts for people and long arm to my heart's content without like hesitating when I used to be so scared of all of it. And
I feel like I also was so scared to gift quilts for a long time. Like I only gave my first quilt I ever gifted was to my sister. And I was like, oh, it's so bad. Like it's so, there's all these mistakes in it and she loves it. And it's now like her most used, you know, it's been on her couch now for years. Like it's her favorite thing. And then I gave one to my best friend. Cause I was like, okay, I can trust her. She'll be nice to me about it. And then it like expanded. And now I'm like, okay, I can now feel good about giving quilts, even if they have mistakes. Cause someone who's not a quilter would never notice. Like, I don't think anyone would ever even notice the corner of my quilt at the back, the top sticks through it, besides me, because I know it's not supposed to look like that.
Right.
And even if they did, and they said something, that's on them, not on me. But
you're like, but why are you looking at my quilt like that?
Scary. Like, I think a lot of times people in my comments on my TikToks, especially, will be like, I want to do this, but like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I think it'll be bad. And I'm like, there is no way for it to be bad because you're hand making something. And if you don't finish it, okay. You had fun along the way and you made something out of nothing. Right. And so,
It's morally neutral. There's no good. There's no bad. It's just, it is what it is. And like, it's either in a finished state or an unfinished state. And that is all like,
And I always feel like people have this whole, like, especially with quilting where there's like clearly a beginning and an end. If you make a quilt where they feel like they're rushing through the process of doing it, like, cause they just want to get the quilt out of it in the end. And I try to be like, yes, that's obviously, it's great that you have an end product, but that's not the goal. The goal is that I sit here and I get meditative and I sew and I watch Bridgerton and I, you know, I have this time to myself where it's not, you know, the noise of the day is not there. And so that should be your goal is like, and if you come out with a beautiful quilt in the end, awesome. If you come out with a pile of fabric in the end, cool. Like you, the middle was the good part. That was what you're trying to do. And so that's what I'm trying to teach is like, it's not frustrating. If you know what you're doing and you take your time and you let it happen, it shouldn't be frustrating because you shouldn't be trying to get anywhere. You should just be trying to sit there and work it out, problem solve.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like, more about the process than the product. And like, obviously you want the finished product, but I like,
mean, I've got a room full of quilts. I get it.
But at the same time, the process is where the learning comes from, where the skill building comes from. Like you don't get better by just having a finished quilt. You get better because of all in between stuff. Like, you find your, you know, I'm sure there's parts. I really love the long arming part, but I don't love cutting fabric, but I know it's a piece of something I need to do. And it doesn't have to be terrible if you prep yourself right and you have like a good cutting surface and you know how to use a rotary cutter and sharp blades are, hey, this is your reminder, go change your rotary cutter blade.
I frequently will get sent like, you know, companies will send me like little tiny PR boxes and stuff. And I swear every time they send me a rotary cutter. And so I have maybe a million rotary cutters and I haven't changed a rotary cutter blade in, I don't know, 9 months because I just keep opening a new rotary cutter. This is really unsustainable. I've got to go buy some rotary blades, but I don't have any blades. So I'm like, oh, I'll just open another rotary cutter.
Problem solved.
There you go.
That's so funny.
My current one, this Fiskars one, is like the best rotary cutter I've ever used. It's huge. The blade is like much bigger.
Is it the 65?
Maybe.
I love it.
Here it is compared to the palm of my hand.
Ooh.
Much larger. Yeah, but that's an amazing rotary cutter.
I love that. I've been looking at getting a 65 just because we cut so much fabric. Like,
it's we're so always much bigger. Making
quilts. Yeah. And I love Fiskars. Like when I started quilting 7 years ago, to get my supplies, because when I learned, my friends taught me and I used all of her stuff, but I just went to good old Joann's and like got the Fiskars like starter set. It's, you know, the 18 by 24 cutting mat and the rotary cutter and the 6 by 24 ruler.
Exactly. That's exactly the setup I had. Yeah.
And I still have it all. Like, I still use that cutting mat. I don't use that ruler as much because I got the quilterselect.com ruler. And those things are magic because the anti-slip stuff is on the entire backside.
Have you seen the trick though of putting medical tape on the back?
No.
Okay. So you can buy that like kind of clear, kind of textured medical tape.
Yeah.
And if you put a stick, like a patch of it on the back of your ruler, it makes your ruler non-stick. So you just stick it on, the sticky side sticks to the ruler and then the other side is slightly sticky and that sticks to your fabric. brilliant, oh. brilliant little hack. So if you have rulers that you that are like specialty, that
okay,
you, yeah,
smart. That's
but yeah, so smart. Those Quilter Select ones are really nice.
Yeah, but the Fisker is like my rotary cutter is just that same basic one, and like I think I've changed the blade twice. Like, I don't know why it's, I guess I don't use my own personal stuff as much as I use the stuff at work, but like I say at work, it's at my mom's house, but
it's work. It's a different location.
It's work. But yeah, it's just like funny. Cause I'm like, God, this fabric, like I keep getting like just little fibers that aren't cutting. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Right, I can change my blade. And I change the blade.
My
I'm
fault.
Like,
this is a user error.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, this is a me problem for sure. So change the blade and then it's fine. But yeah, it's just funny those things that like, I think go ahead.
I was just saying, calling back to when you were saying about like having that starter kit, that's another thing I really like to like hone into people is like, I have all these really nice tools that, you know, I've bought or companies have sent me, or I often find really nice stuff at estate sales and stuff, but it has taken me years to amass the tools that I had and I can still use, I still have the tools that I used to make my first quilt, which was an 18 by 24 rotary mat and a 6 by 24 ruler and a rotary cutter. And that's it. And my little Singer, I used a Singer simple sewing machine, which had 2 stitches on it. Like that was the first thing that I ever made a whole puff quilt on. And if you can do that, you can use any tools. There, things will make it easier, but you can do it with the bare minimum. You could use scissors and no ruler if you really needed to, and print out a template. You know, like you can make things work. And so those things will make things easier. You don't need all these fancy tools. That's what I try really hard not to be just selling people stuff. Because it's so easy. And I see a lot of people slip into it where it's so easy to be like, this is my favorite thing. Here's a link. This is all my stuff. Like, go buy all these things from me. And that's great. And I understand it. And I'm guilty for buying things off people's links. But like, I think it's important to like, remember, you don't need all these like fancy, crazy tools. You can do it with stuff around your house.
Yeah.
And a rotary mat.
Yeah. It's true. And like, I started super basic also. I bought like the $100 Brother machine from Amazon because I was like, I want to keep sewing and quilting, but I didn't necessarily have thousands of dollars to dump into an expensive sewing machine. And I still sew on that Brother machine. It's the one that's up on my sewing desk in my sewing room right now. Like even at 7 years and I professionally am a quilter.
Well,
I still choose to sew on that. Like I could have upgraded so many times, but I just didn't want to. I'm like, no, I love this. There's literally nothing wrong with it. Like, and it has multiple stitches.
I was going to say I had to upgrade mine because I broke my Singer Simple machine's reverse pedal thing.
Oh.
But when I got the Singer Patchwork is what I sew on now. And it's like a $250 machine. It's nothing crazy fancy, but it has every feature I could ever want. And I'm sure I would love a quieter, nicer, fancy machine.
Sure.
But it's not I don't need it. It's not my truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and it's fun. Cause like going to work, you know, for the business, we need nicer machines. We need things that are going to hold up and be able to pump out a ton of quilts and like do embroidery and all that stuff. So that makes sense. But it's like, so it's just funny going from like these like fancy ass Berninas to coming home to my Brother machine and just being like, there's no push button. Like I have to lift the presser foot. I have to trim the threads. I can't just go boop and it does it for me. Like, I'm like, but
it adds to the meditation, right? All the little tiny steps. I always joke that like it's not a joke, but I would say like my favorite part of quilting is that there's so many tiny little wins that you get throughout quilting. And so like when you finish cutting, great. But even if you want to sub down and go, I cut the 1-inch squares and now I'm cutting the 1.5-inch squares. Like I finished the 1-inch squares. I finished that.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing this. And then I finished all these different like steps. And so I feel like, even with your machine, it's like, okay, I finished this row of stitches. I'm going to trim the threads. I finished that. And then you get to do the next row of stitches. And I like, that's what I love is all the little tiny wins that you get. Mm-hmm. And then you get the big win in the end when you finish the quilt. But
yeah, no, you're right. And for like people like me who love checklists and like being able to check that box, it's like, and that's, I break down most of my projects into like little steps that I can check the boxes. And it helps me keep track of what I'm doing. So if I like get distracted or a client comes by or I take a phone call or something, I'm not like, where was I? But like seeing all those little ticks as you're like, oh, I finished that row. I finished that part of this thing. It's like, I'm done with that list entirely. Now I'm on to the next list of things. Like
there are so many wins when you make a quilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, it is. Like,
there's tons of different, I've done like every hobby, but I think of like pottery, where like if you're trying to do something on a pottery wheel, the win is the end, right? Like there weren't as many like steps where I'm feeling like I'm winning along the way. It feels like I'm struggling until it's a pot. Yeah. Like, and then it's like, great, now I've won. Whereas quilting, I feel like I get all these little things.
Yeah.
Which is so fun. And you get to accomplish so many things.
Yeah.
Even if you don't finish it.
Yeah.
Which is always mine.
It's true, because it's like, yeah, once you've done a few of the steps, even if it's not done, you've at least done something with it. It's like, if you just let a lump of clay sit there or you don't finish shaping it, it's like, it literally can't be anything.
No hate towards potters. I'm sure you love your craft.
For sure. But it's just like with anything else. Quilting's not necessarily everybody's jam. Like,
I was going to say, because even when I, you know, my sister will come in and she'll want to do something and she's like, I don't know how you cut out 100 squares. I'm so tired of it. And I'm like, no, but I've done 50 of them. I'm so excited. She's not feeling that way. So
yeah, you're like, I'm halfway there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not for everybody. And that makes sense.
But it's still great. Like, I think because of like kind of going back to talking about how like, you know, the lockdowns and everything kind of pushed people to being online and like seeking out things to do. And it made social media such a huge hotbed for hobby, like showing off your hobbies or learning new hobbies. If seems like there's more and more people who want to try these handcrafty things, which is great. And so the fact that it's now on Instagram and TikTok a lot more, and finding people who like you who are willing to go through the process and teach it to people, I think it's much more approachable now than it ever has been. The social media aspect and the trying to make it more accessible to people and more welcoming and accepting and pushing back against those traditional ideals that have kept quilting in the dark for so many. I just think it's something that a lot more people are even trying, because they're like, oh, this cool girl does this. Like, I can do that. Like, exactly. I don't have to be some old crusty lady to do it. That's
always my, like, I feel like I used to be young, and now 3 years later, I don't feel so young anymore. But like when I was first starting, I was like, people are always like, you have such a grandma hobby. And I'm like, well, first of all, nobody that I follow is really all that much of a grandma. Like, we're all kind of pretty young in my side of the world. Not that there aren't grandmas, but like, realistically, there's this whole movement of young people who are looking for something to do with their hands and their time off. And I've noticed like needlepoint has taken off really on TikTok, and like quilting is taking off, and knitting and crocheting. And it's because I think we're naturally born to like be doing something with our hands.
Yeah.
Something tactile like quilting is like really like the next step that people are waiting to discover. And so my audience is hugely young, like mostly under 25, which is crazy, like really young people. Yeah. And I love inspiring and like making sure that quilting is not dying. Even though I only started like 4 years ago, but I'm like, now I feel like this whole like an onus to be like, no, it's really cool. You should really do it. Don't let it die.
Yeah. It becomes like a mission of like, no, this doesn't have to be that thing that you think it is, because it's not that. Like, it doesn't have to stay that way. And the fact that younger and younger people are getting involved and like wanting to do it, because, and I think that's it too, is like fabrics and the fun notions and sticker, like the whole culture around quilting, especially the modern quilting, is like so different. And it's so much more exciting to look at than like what you think of like on the back of your great grandma's couch, the brown, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah.
But I always joke, there's no ugly quilts.
No.
But there are quilts that I like way more than others.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I agree. It's all in the eye of the beholder, but I agree that like, it's not what it used to be, where it used to, I feel like there was a lot of rules that people followed back in the day with quilting, and like the types of fabrics that they were choosing looked a certain way. Mm-hmm. And now you look at stuff, especially, I mean, I pretty much exclusively used Ruby Star Society just because I love the like bright pops of color, but I feel like especially what they're doing with these like really bright colors and these really outrageous patterns, but that are still like, you know, tasteful and like are able to be made into something, just opens up the world of like who is going to be willing to use this to create something. And you're not limited by the box of like, it has to be this certain way, and it has to have white sashing, and it has to, you know, have 1-inch quilting on it to be perfect or whatever it is. But
yeah. I just love the accessibility, like, and that's what so many people are after, which is great, especially like, you know, content creators are looking for ways to bring more people in. And I think that's what we need. And so the fact that you're doing that is so great too, because like, you know, that, yeah, I think the need to get out there and like do something with your hands beyond just like being in that digital. I think like, I just think about like as a kid, I had lots of hobbies. I was homeschooled, so I had tons of time on my hands. And like my mom's always been super crafty and creative, so we always had like tons of hobby type stuff around. And, you know, I was crocheting before I quilted and did all these kinds of other things before. But there's like just nothing that compares to making something with your hands. But like as a kid, it was like, because I was on that cusp of like, you know, internet and like doing things online, and like AOL chat was like such a cool thing when I was in middle school and like early high school. And then like, and then MySpace came out, and like, so we were like, it was like more of this push of like increasingly like, no, it's so cool to be online. It's so cool to like, da, da, da. And like, I know social media plays a huge part in our existence, and there's like, it's going to just be that way. And so it's good to learn how to interact with it and use it and like make it benefit you. But like, I feel like people are kind of stepping back and going, you know what? I actually feel like I need to do something else. And
right. Like, I feel like I'm scrolling forever and nothing is coming of it. So what can I do to produce something?
Right.
Which is not necessarily the goal, but to like do something different.
Right. It's like, just try something else besides sitting here and watching other people live.
Right. Well, and that's actually one of my favorite things about TikTok is the TikTok live feature. I should try Instagram live, but I will go on live frequently when I'm sewing so that I can't be on my phone. Like mm-hmm. I have to be like doing something.
Yeah.
And then people all the time will be like, hey, I found your live and now I'm sitting down and sewing. So like I was on TikTok and I stopped and I found you. And
yeah.
I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go sit down and sew while she talks to me, and I'll, you know, I'll yap, chat to people the whole time I'm sewing. And so it's fun to be able to like, even though I'm not seeing them, they're getting to like, you know, see me body double and like able to get something done, and it pulls them away from the endless scroll, which I love that about TikTok. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun. And like feeling like you're sewing with a friend. I think
exactly.
If you're not in a space where you have peers or have other people who sew with you, like I'm fortunate to have my three best friends. They also sew and quilt. And so a lot of times our social gatherings or when we hang out together, a lot of times they involve sewing. Or even if one of us isn't making anything, we'll like iron for the one person, or we'll kind of be the gopher for everybody else. And but just that like togetherness is so fun. It's like, I know, you know, like quilting bees and stuff kind of were that. And so it's kind of like virtual quilting bees are coming about more, and seeing people posting quilts of like, oh, my bee group made, you know, we all made these blocks, but it's like they're not together in person, they're virtual or, you know, distance. And so it's kind of cool that like we're able to take those like more traditional aspects of like the quilting bees and like the groups of quilters who, you know, sit and quilt together. Like we can take that online and include more people and make our circles bigger, which is super cool.
And I love, especially on TikTok, when I'm like, anyone can join it and watch and they don't have to contribute. So there's no like barrier, right? Like they can just sit and be like, I'm inspired by this.
Yeah.
And then if they like comment in the live, that's great, but they can also just kind of sit and sew with me and have me talking to them. And they feel like, I feel like I'm giving a lot, you know, they can take a lot out of like sitting and chatting when they don't have to put anything back, which I love. Cause I love to be able to like inspire people. And so I think that's so fun. And it's fun that we can do it virtually. So people who are a little maybe less social or less extroverted can still get what all of us extroverts who love quilting together are getting, you know?
Yeah.
Using the internet as a tool, not as a burden.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think the more we can show people how to engage with it in that way, the better off like we will be, instead of it's just like, nope, we're just only doom scrolling or there's only bad news on here. It's like, no.
Yeah. I love my quilting, the little quilting Instagram that I've curated, like all the accounts that I follow, and like everything is happy as I scroll, and I can scroll endlessly, but it's like everything is inspiring and happy, and then it makes me want to go and quilt. You know, like that's the kind of like curation that I want for my experience.
Yeah. I'm the same way. It's like, I only follow. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, you're just burying your head in the sand. Like you need to see all aspects. It's like, I can, if I want to, like, I will go seek that out if I like want to read the news, or if I want to figure out what's going on with something that's dramatic that's going on, but I don't want to be involved in any way. But like what I've curated for my existence online is something that feeds my soul.
Right.
Inspires me and makes me want to keep doing what I'm doing. Cause otherwise, like, why would I bog myself down with stuff that just tears me down? Like,
right. And like in my normal everyday life, like I see this and I'm experiencing this. This space is for me, it's like a happy place. It is like for me to come and share what I love and show you things that I love and only have positivity coming back in. Like I have no room for negativity. If I get a negative comment, which is very rare, but if I do, immediately I'm not interacting with this. We're deleting it. We're not living in a space of negativity. And if something I post fosters negativity, I'm going to immediately delete it because that's not what this space is for me. Like I understand there are people who are like happy to, you know, argue on topics. And I love that. And I love that there's a space for that, but that is not what I am fostering. Like I'm fostering positivity. We're sharing things happily with others. We're all growing and learning together. We're all making mistakes. Like it's, and that should be showcased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And like, you know, life is what you make it. And if you are a sad, miserable person and you are bringing that around to other people, like people don't have to interact with you. Like, you know, it's like I can make my existence in this lifetime heaven if I want to. It's just, it matters on your mindset. And if your mindset is to like, just love what you do and love the people around you and be loved by the people around you, then like you get to have that. It's really cool, actually.
I also was gonna say when I got into it, like everything happened very fast on TikTok. Like I was 0 to 100,000 followers, like pretty much in a month, which was crazy. Like it was, I mean, it was insane. And it felt really like daunting actually at first. And then I've kind of grown into it and like figured it out. Caught my groove, but, that happened so fast. And then everyone was like, why aren't you on Instagram? And I was like, oh, okay, I'll go make Instagram. Like, I guess I gotta go be over there. People do the same thing about YouTube. And I'm like, whoa, we're not quite ready for that yet, but maybe someday.
You're like three platforms. I don't know.
We're getting hardier. Yeah. But, when I got into quilting Instagram, I was very nervous because in my experience on Instagram, like it's very similar to people's experience on Facebook where there can be a lot of negativity really fast. And it's a lot of judgment really fast. Whereas I feel like TikTok, especially the space that I had created, was all about finding beginners who are interested in this. And I was hitting that niche. And so I was worried when I came to Instagram that it was like, I'm going to find all these people who are like, I'm better than you. And I make these beautiful quilts and whatever. And then I started following these people and they started following me back. And it was like, now everyone's commenting and we're both commenting on each other's things. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. Like I follow tons of accounts that have like 50 followers, but I like their content. So it's just, I feel like the Instagram space, at least the little corner that I have found, is very supportive. And I love that. That's like what I love about the modern quilting kind of movement, is that there's not a lot of negativity to be found because everyone is just happy and sharing their makes. And it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found the same thing. It's like, people are just happy to share and they want other people to love quilting too. And so they leave the negativity out because it's, there's no room for it. It's like, we're done with that. We're moving in this direction because we don't like where, you know, we don't like having that kind of chirpy bad news person over our shoulders, like critiquing everything we do versus like feeling encouraged and feeling like someone's going to have our back when we're trying something new and we're scared. And you know, have this whole group of cheerleaders who are like, fuck yeah, try it. Like, get on it, girl. Like,
feel at it. That's, I love when people post, and I try my hardest to post this, but like when they try something and it doesn't work. Like recently I was watching somebody, I think it was Peach and Honey Studio, who was like trying to put a zipper into her bag.
Yeah.
And it totally miserably failed. And I was like, I'm so glad that you posted that because this is like a real experience that we're all having. And if you don't post about it, it feels like, oh, you just, because she could have easily just sewn the zipper back in and posted that she sewed the zipper in, right? But she was like sharing that it didn't fit in her bag. And I'm like, that's brilliant. That's the kind of content I want to see, because that's the real life experience that I'm also experiencing when I'm trying to do something, you know?
Yeah. Zippers are a bitch. Fine line.
Yeah, right. It's a fine line because like I'm obviously posting tutorial content, but like I'm currently posting a sawtooth star tutorial over on TikTok. Mm. That's what my current project is. And I was doing the cutting and I cut 6.5-inch squares and I was supposed to cut 6.25-inch squares. Mm. And I was like, do I refilm this and film it as 6.25? Do I film myself fixing it? Or do I just say, I made this mistake. You might make it too. We'll fix it. We'll cut 1/4-inch off these squares. It's no big deal. And so I was like, I'm going to leave in all the mistakes I make along the way, because even though I'm teaching you, I'm showing you that even though I am in a position where I know how to do this and I can teach you how to do it, I'm still going to make I'm still going to cut a 6.5-inch strip instead of a 6.25-inch strip. Like we all do that all the time. And so it's like trying to keep it real, but like still be educational and make sure it's not taking away from like people learning. But
yeah. I think that's kind of the best of both worlds of like, I think sometimes some negative feelings can come from watching very like highly curated accounts that only show perfection.
Yes.
And it can make you feel like you're not good enough, but like, especially if that's all you're seeing, but seeing the like here and there, like, oh, whoops, I messed this up, but here's how I fixed it. It's like, oh, okay. This person's a human too. And I can relate to that. And like,
I know in my mind and my heart that everybody is making these mistakes.
Yeah.
They're just not showing it. And I understand that it's hard to like show like something that you did that's wrong. It's not what you want to show. What you want to show is all the pretty, beautiful content. But like, I do think it's important to be like real and like we're all doing this. So it doesn't seem like there's some like higher power that we're trying to get to be and like some perfect quilter that we could be. But
right, you
know, you're always going to cut a 6.5-inch strip at some point. Like it just always happens.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things. Like we're just humans and no matter what fancy tools you have or like fancy everything you have, like you're still a person and you're still going to make mistakes. Like calculation errors or just putting your ruler in the wrong spot and just being like, yep, that's right. Slice. And then be like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least it was too big and not too small. Cause
I know when I realized it, I was like, wow, what a perfect mistake to make. Cause it's just turning off a little quarter inch. Like that's so easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And like, but that's the thing too, I think that like being a teacher can help bring to the table. And I mean, other obviously like professions teach this as well, but like as a teacher, you have to teach your students how to be flexible with learning how to solve problems. And like, so if you can't do it for yourself, like that's probably a big oopsie, but also just the idea that like, oh, well, I can just make a little bit bigger sawtooth star or like, oh, I can just trim this off or like knowing that there's like fixes for every problem. There's always a solution to every problem. You just have to figure out what's going to work best for you. And like, you know, it's
world, if you make a little mistake.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you really are down for it, even if you cut a smaller strip than you intended, you could really figure out how to size everything down by a quarter inch. Absolutely. You know, it's like,
yeah.
There's no end to where you can find solutions in that as well. But like just seeing it and watching someone else go through it, it's like, oh, I feel so seen.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I felt like for a little while, like, and it was definitely just, I don't spend a ton of time scrolling on my own Instagram or TikTok or stuff. I tend to be more like making the content than like consuming it. But for the longest time, I was like, am I the only one making these like silly mistakes and showing it? Because what's going on here? Like, and so I'm hoping even like talking about it here or like showing it more will inspire more people to do that and be like, here's the reality of like, things aren't perfect. Like I said, when I finish a quilt, I like to show the points that don't line up because there's always a point or two on my quilt that doesn't line up. I am not, if I open a seam of fabric and I look at it and the points don't align, I am absolutely not the type of person to seam rip it and start over. Like they went where they went. That's where they're going to be. Yeah. And so like, I try to always show that and I'm hoping it will inspire more of these like perfect Instagram quilters to like join the movement of like showing your mistakes along the way.
Yeah, it matters. And it's like, no, normal quilts have mistakes in them and that's okay. Like even ones that you see in quilt shows have mistakes in them. It's like, but the person either knew it and didn't care and they were like, I think that's the funny thing is I think people also assume that if you're putting a quilt into a quilt show that you're assuming that your quilt is perfect.
Right. But
that's not the case. I keep wanting to throw out these stupid percentages that have nothing to do with anything. So I keep stopping myself.
The time, I know it's not true.
But it's like most people are aware of the mistakes they've made. They're just saying, you know what, this is the best I've done so far in my journey, or I really feel like this quilt conveys this thing that I really want to display.
Yeah.
And they submit it anyway because they're looking for the feedback or they're looking to just share their quilt, share their work. And they're really proud of whatever it is. So it's like mistakes and all, it doesn't matter. The purpose of sharing is higher than the than picking the mistakes and making it like, oh, I can never show this to anybody. Like this quilt right here behind me, it has so many mistakes in it, but it's one of my favorite quilts of all time. And I would never change it for the world. Cause it's like, well, I learned, like I never made a flying goose before this quilt, and it has big ones and little ones, and my points are shit, but I don't care. I love this quilt. Like,
exactly. Like, no, I think that like, what I think of it, like in the future, if somebody were to find this quilt, they would be able to look at it and know that someone handmade it. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, if every single thing was perfect about it, they'd be like, did a machine make this? Like what, like a perfect quilt is not my ideal. Like I want something that looks like it's handmade. Like I love one of my, like I was talking about earlier, I love going to estate sales. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things is to find like little quilted items, or mm-hmm. like I've got a quilt block hanging on my wall that's framed that I found at an estate sale, and it's nowhere near perfect, but I love looking at it and seeing, you can tell somebody spent hours hand quilting it and then mm-hmm. framing it. And it's beautiful. And so I think mistakes are meant to be in there. Like if it didn't have them, there would be something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like what I would tell my long arming students too. Cause they'd be like following the pantograph with the laser light and like trace, you know, trying to trace like, oh, I can't get it. And I'm like, who can? Nobody can. Like, you're just like,
do your best.
Yeah. Like you, how many times have you long armed before? And they're like, never. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, so this is your first time? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, great. So I long arm all the time and I'm not perfect either. Like every little bump or mistake or missed point or whatever, like that's the humanness in what you're creating. And that's you in there. Like when you're gifting your grandchild a quilt that you made yourself from start to finish, they're not looking at the flaws and going, oh my God, my grandma's a terrible quilter. They're right. Like, my grandma made me a quilt. Like, it's like,
I mean, the magic is, go ahead.
Though the magic is in the humanness of it. And
absolutely.
That's what we're looking for.
I made a giant colored pencil quilt for my classroom. Ooh. And I quilted it with like 3-inch like width between the quilting lines. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the way it hangs, it like drapes a little weird. And like the fabric has a little bit of a wrinkle in it. And I was like, oh, well, like it's kind of like, it's not like how I'd want it to be. Like it crinkles a little bit weird. And I was like, but you know, I made it. So I'm going to bring it in here. And we hung it up and every single kid is like, that is so cool. And I'm like, I think as long as a 4-year-old would tell me that this is so cool, it's good enough, right? Like there's no like better experience than the kid being like, whoa, giant colored pencils. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't need to be a certain way. And like, no one's going to say, it's weird that it drapes kind of funky with the like folds going this way. Yeah. So it was, that was a good moment for me too, to a reminder to myself to like, stop caring like about like what a perfect quilt would look like.
Mm-hmm. We're doing something, I don't remember. Anyway, but I had taken a couple of quilts in to my classroom before I had quit teaching and showed my students, and they were like, what? Like, and they're not perfect by any means, but they're quilts I made. And they just were like, you know, still 4-year-olds or 8-year-olds, it doesn't matter. Like, they're like, you made that? They were like, this is crazy. And they were like, can we touch it? And I was like, yeah, I let them like manhandle them and like wrap themselves in them. And a bunch of them were like laying on one reading. And I was like, yeah, I'm a good quilter. Like, that's all that matters. Like if it functions and if it, you know, brings joy, then that's all that matters. It doesn't have to be anything else. So.
And kids are going to tell you like it is. So if they didn't like it, they would tell you, but they're always going to like a quilt because they're fun and they're warm and cozy and handmade. And they think it is so cool that you can do something like that. So that should be your litmus test. As long as a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old would tell you that it's cool. Yeah. It's great. They're not going to be looking for the points.
No, because they don't even know. They're like, I mean, I could never make that. So you're like, oh, but you could.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like, then I had students drawing quilts for me and like design, like, I want you to make this design. And I'm like, well, I might someday never, but that's cool. Yeah. It was so funny. Well, besides your sawtooth stars, do you have any fun projects that you have got in the works that are coming up that we can look for on TikTok or?
Yeah. So currently I'm posting the sawtooth star tutorial series. So I post, this is actually only my third ever full quilt series that I've posted, but I post a step kind of every week, kind of when I get to it, there's no kind of rush to it. And then they stay up forever. So people can learn to make a puff quilt on my page. They can learn to make a hexagon quilt, like the National Park quilt, or now the sawtooth star quilt. I have a lot of little project tutorials all over the place. For Christmas this year, I made everybody quilt block sweatshirts, which was fun. And I posted a tutorial on that. But otherwise, in the works, I kind of am like, I'm a vibes sewer, is what we always say. I'm a big reader. So we always say I'm a vibes reader. There's no like books I'm going to read next. I don't know. It's whatever vibe I feel like at the time. So
yeah,
whatever vibe I feel like at the time will be the next quilt that I make. But yeah, Sawtooth Star right now, I'm using this really fun pink and red starry with the red fabric. It's going to be a really good one. After that, who knows? Wherever the wind takes me. The quilt wind.
The quilt winds. Whatever quilt gods are out there, the quilting quorum.
Exactly.
Whatever they bless your brain
inspiration
with.
Inspiration strikes next, yeah.
Yeah.
There are lots of quilts sitting waiting to be made, but I don't know if they'll be made.
Yeah. You'll get there. It's, I mean, I think that's any, in any quilter studio, there's like tons of like whips or projects that haven't even been started, but it's like, I'm gonna get to you someday.
And I actually do. I'm big into like getting through the stuff that I have. So I try not to, I mean, it's a hard task to do, but yeah. I try not to buy new fabric until I've at least sewn a quilt's worth of fabric. Like my stash is remaining this size. So if I buy more stuff, I have to then sew more stuff. Like I can't, there's no more bins to be bought of fabric. It's there when they're full and I have to start sewing. So
yeah, I like that. Cause again, it's like the kind of modern take on like, okay, how do we be less consumery while still partaking in what we like and buying the fabric we like to work with, but like not over consuming to like that whole like quip of like, you know, the quilter who dies with the biggest stash wins. It's like, no, because then your kids and your grandkids have to deal with your shit. Like
burden of all your shit that they don't like. Everyone's taste is different. Yeah.
Right. Like they're not going to keep that fabric in 20 years. Like
that's every time I go to an estate sale, I'm like, ooh, this is a good reminder. Like I need to not be doing this because I don't want my estate sale to look like this when I'm older. Like
right. I
want to be all quilts, not all fabric.
Yeah. It's like, how about a quilt someone can take and use instead of like your old dusty fabric that nobody wants anymore? Yeah.
Yep,
no,
exactly.
For sure. Well, I like that. It's like, you know, quilt out, fabric in, kind of.
Plus it inspires me to actually get in here and sew something. Like I could sit here and build fabric stash all year long. It's so low effort. I just have to slam my credit card down and then the fabric arrives. But to actually sit down and take the time and make the quilt is like, it's a good reminder when fabric shows up on the doorstep that I need to go sit down and cut some.
Yeah. I actually have a quilt upstairs. I'm like really itching to start making and it's with Firefly. Yeah. And I have black speckle that I'm going to use as like, I'm going to snowball the corners. I'm so excited.
I love that. I also love talking to people about what they're going to make next. Cause it's like, they get so excited about the fabrics.
Yeah.
I have, I'm trying to look, what is, Rise and Shine. I just bought the Rise and Shine layer cakes and I'm going to do what I did with my National Parks quilt where I'm going to take all the oranges or not the oranges, take all the greens and blues out. And then I'm just going to do the like pinks and yellows and oranges. And so it'll be very similar, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. Ooh, that's such a good line. And
I've got the big like with the like landscape print is gonna be backing.
Oh, I love it.
So all day. But that's not a tutorial, that's just for fun. That's just another one of those quilts I'm making for me.
Yeah, good. I love it. I think as quilters, sometimes we like gifting is kind of like
the assumption.
I think the assumption, like, oh, well, who are you making that for? It's like, well, for me, duh. Like, I don't know. I think I never started quilting with the intention of only doing it as gifts. And I think that's where a lot of people started. It's like, oh, I started quilting to make a gift for my friend or for my whatever. And that was not how I started. So it's never been like my main goal of quilting. And I do gift quilts, obviously. I'm not like a complete hoarder, but, but a lot of the quilts, I guess not anymore, but one of my initial quilts that I made, my first, you know, five or six are, they're mine. They're here in my home. They're still used. I've gifted quilts. I've made more quilts for myself in the meantime, but like now that my business, my job is to make quilts for other people. It's like finding time to sit and actually sew for myself. Like that's
hard,
the real challenge. And, but when I get excited about something and want to make it, then it's like such a great feeling. So
yeah, it's, I think it's amazing that you're able to do quilting as your business and still want to make something for yourself. Cause I feel like as soon as what happened to me when I was doing those quilt tutorials was I was like, this feels like I'm doing so much for other people. And like, I love sharing this. And my goal is obviously to make it accessible and like teach people. That's what I want to do, but yeah. I can't do that 100% of the time because I right. lose the like spark and the want to like just sit down and like sew something for fun. So
yeah.
It's amazing that you're able to keep that balance. Like I'm envious.
It's tricky. Sometimes I just don't ever touch into sewing. Like if I am not at work working, I'm not touching my sewing stuff, but yeah. like there are definitely ebbs and flows to it. I feel like when I'm feel like overwhelmed at work, it's that's when I'm like I can't yeah. sew. But like when we have a little bit of a lull or we've gotten caught up and I'm not feeling as much pressure, then it's like, okay, now I can sew for me. But yeah, it's yeah. definitely
I think I mean balance. That even happens for me. If I have a really stressful day at work, I probably won't go into my quilting room, right? So it's like the same kind of
yeah.
things apply. But yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for being on today. I've really enjoyed chatting with you and getting to know you. And I'm glad this gets to be your first podcast experience. Hopefully it's been fun, but
it's so fun. I love chatting.
Yeah, me too. And I'm looking forward to like catching up on more of your TikToks. Like I got through some of them, but I definitely want to go back and check out all your tutorials and stuff. Like I love seeing like good teaching and like good tutorials because it helps me just get better too when I see how other people approach quilting. So I'm really excited to see that. And
yeah, one of my favorite things to do is watch other people's tutorials, even if I'm not going to make it, because yeah. I'll learn a skill and then later on I can remember like, oh, someone said to do this that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It like has come in clutch so many times for me. I'm like, oh, I remember seeing that video. And then I'll like go find it again. And I'm like, oh yeah, this was the thing. And it like helps me in some aspect of like a job I'm working on or something I've never tried before. And so it's just, yeah. it's great to have that knowledge base out there and have it be accessible. I don't have to like go take a class. I don't have to like go find some random person at the quilt shop who just happens to know how. So
right.
it's really cool. Well, thanks again. And I will put links to your TikTok and your Instagram in the show notes. And otherwise, we'll stay tuned and see what you've got to show us.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm sure lots of fun projects are in the works, but who knows? I'll find out at the same time you do.
Yeah.